your phones so we don't hear any ring rings, okay? So take a moment, silence it please. And then today, a short message on, Mom, you the best. You believe that, guys? It's seldom that I would isolate a topic or a mother and do a sermon on it. We would always honor the mothers, like we did this morning, but seldom do I isolate and just speak to moms in particular. Mark Twain, my mother had a great deal of trouble with me, but I think she enjoyed it. I think that's most mothers, though. Particularly, I think the more trouble you give the mother, the more special you are to the mother. I know in my case it was like that, I think. That's why I was named Dennis the Menace. I mean, you know, the young generation thinks that life is tough. But we've got to boast a little bit about the baby boomers. You know, the baby boomers had a hard life, man. It wasn't easy in their life. We're going to go through a couple of sayings that I may have mentioned in one or two Mother's Days way back in one of the sermons I did. And here's a couple of sayings particularly the baby boomers can relate to, and for the younger generation to understand some of the stuff, because it may not be relevant, or you may not have heard that, or maybe your mom was on the inside of the baby boomer and used this kind of terminology. My mother taught me religion. When I spilled something on the carpet, she instructed, you better pray the stain will come out of that carpet. That's how I grew up. There's a couple of other things that I relate to very much that my mother said to. I know it's a bittersweet moment. Some of us have lost our mothers. They've gone on to heaven. Others, it's still fresh in your mind. And It was difficult for Brian, I believe, to share what happened. It was not an easy moment when they called me about his mom. It was a shock to the system because we just saw a Sunday and she was supposed to go to a Tuesday night ladies' dinner. So it took a lot of Brian to share that with you this morning. And I appreciate the fact that he did do that because he's still working through the loss of his mother. So some may not have had a mother that cared, a mother that loved. Heather and I was very fortunate in that sense that we did. My mom was a stocky lady, a well-set lady, but took no nonsense. I think that's where I get it from. She had a stubborn spirit. I think that's where I get that from. Don't ever say thank you, honey, or whoever said that. My mother, don't you ever tell me you cannot do that. Don't you ever use that word. It's not in our vocabulary. Okay, mother, whatever. My mother taught me logic from her decisive words because I said so. I'll never forget one of the incidents. I was around 12 years old. My hair was straight and beautiful, and it was much more colorful than what it was now. I should have, it was a bland color. But I never forgot one day I woke up and I was combing my hair, and I just couldn't get this one particular piece of hair to lie down because I had straight hair. And my mother, I came into my the breakfast room, and my mother said, go comb your hair. I said, I just combed my hair. She said, don't talk back to me. Go fetch your brush. Sure. I go fetch my brush. Did she scrub this head? She's trying to get that wave out of my hair. I mean, I've got furrows in my hair, in my scalp, the way she was trying to get that hair to lie down. And lo and behold, from that day onwards, my waves developed, and now every now and then I get a tidal wave. So, that's where I am. But my mother said, because I said so. My mother taught me foresight. Make sure you wear clean underwear in case you're in an accident. You would never go to the doctor with something more than a day. I mean, even you still put something clean on before you go to the doctor. Life has changed. Some people bath once a week nowadays. I don't know. But here they are. Oh, make sure you wear clean underwear in case you're in an accident. Yeah, thanks, Mom. My mother taught me irony. Keep laughing and I'll give you something to cry about. Or you're whining, I'll give you something to whine about, right? So that was part of my mom's vocabulary. My mother taught me about stamina. You sit here until all that cabbage is finished. That's why I ate it. It's not only the cabbage. I was totally allergic to cabbage, cauliflower, Brussels sprouts. Totally allergic to that stuff. I mean, in my head, not physically. To me, that's poison. It's not good stuff, that. It's not good stuff. But I also appreciate you folks, particularly the Polish people that eat the cabbage. And when Bob and them did the cabbage, they got the consent to do it. I said, I don't want any smell. I don't want a taste of cabbage in my food. And they did that. They honored it, and I appreciate that very much. I came into this place, there was no smell of cabbage. So you will sit here until that cabbage is finished. My mother taught me the circle of life. I brought you into the world. I can take you out of the world. I've heard that so many times. I appreciate life nowadays. My mother taught me about behavior modification. Stop acting like your father. My mother taught me envy. I've heard this a million times. There are millions of less fortunate children in this world. Why don't you have that don't have a wonderful mom like you, that cares about you, loves you, etc., etc. One thing my mother had was strong faith. And I appreciate her for that. And that's why I can say this morning, and Heather's mom had strong faith. Thanks, Mom, for our mothers that have gone on. Thank you. We appreciate you, Mom. It's not always easy. Proverbs 31:10-12. I wasn't going to use the entire scripture, but I think it's worthwhile, the contemporary English version. A truly good wife is the most precious treasure a man can find. Men, we do take the ladies for granted. You take your wife for granted. Children, you take your mother for granted. A truly good wife is the most precious treasure a man can find. Look at what verse 11 says. Her husband does what? Isn't that amazing? Her husband depends on her, and she never lets him down. Love her, and she'll be with you all the way. She's good to him every day of her life. Verse 25, we're skipping to verse 25. She's strong. Oh, yeah, she's strong. My mother thought she was strong in her head, too. She was strong, but I never forget. I had a Mercedes-Benz 280 SE, and it's parked on an incline like this. We had to put blocks, and I couldn't get the blocks out because it was on a decline, on a downhill, and the blocks were keeping this. And I'm calling one of the maids to come and help me just to try and push this heavy tank up a little bit so I can get the blocks out. And we're pushing and nothing. And here comes my mother. She's 60-something years old and walks like a duck. Let's push it. I said, Mom, get inside, don't worry. You've not got nothing. You can't push the car. And she's pushing. Take the block out. Take the block out. I said, Mother, nothing's moving. Take the block out. Well, we never got the block out. But there was her spirit, okay? Nothing was impossible for her. I'll never forget one time about my mother. We had somebody coming in and they were trying to sell stuff to her. Now, in today's age, you can't do that, but I grew up in this violent age. A guy came, and he was knocking on the door, and I was at home, and he wanted to sell something to my mother, and my mother didn't want to buy it. She told her, leave. Well, he didn't want to leave, so she pushes him, leave. And he gave her a mouthful. I'll never forget. As he was walking, there was a rake with the handle, the rake standing here. She took that handle with the rake, and she let rip. And she hit him right in between the blood, and he went down. Oh, my God, now we got a murder on our case over here, too. But she took no nonsense. I mean, she can't. Thank God she's not living today. She'll be in big trouble in that sense. Her words are sensible. And men listen to this, and her advice is thoughtful. Sometimes we breeze that aside. I like verse 27-28. She takes good care of her family. And one thing, she's never lazy. Mothers at times do fantastic jobs when everybody else is sleeping. I mean, I barbecue every Saturday, and in the week I might. And Heather will say, thank you for the barbecue. But in reality, I did nothing. I just put the meat on there and blah, blah, blah. She's done all the other dishes and then wash up and all that kind of stuff while I'm just reading the iPad. So here we are. She takes good care of her family, never lazy. Her children praise her, and with great pride, her husband says, there are many good women, but you are the best. Mom, you're the best. Children, go to your parents today, your mother, and say, you're the best. You are the best. Now, verse 30 is important because charm can be very deceitful. And beauty fades away, but a woman who honors the Lord does what? Deserves to be praised. Show her respect. This is the emphasis. Show her respect. Praise her in public for what she has done. In other words, brag a little bit. Show her respect. Praise her in public for what she has done. Now, Mother's Day that we celebrate today actually fulfills the scripture. The scripture, honor your father and your mother so that you may live long in the land of the Lord your God is giving to you. And today we are fulfilling one of those Ten Commandments found in Exodus 20 verse 12. Honor your father and mother. Then you will live a long life, a long full life in the land the Lord your God is giving you. Once again, now we ask ourselves, this is a Hebrew thing. Does the Hebrew thing still mean something to us in 2026? Really? Well, then we're going to take that to heart. Because there's many other things that Hebrews wrote under the inspiration of God and the Holy Spirit that we should not defy today. So here is a typical example. It is still applicable today. Honor your father and mother. Here's a poem for mothers. Happy Mother's Day means more than have a happy day. Within those words lie lots of things we never get to say. It means I love you first of all, then thanks for all you do. It means you mean a lot to me and that I honor you. And that's a beautiful poem for the mothers. Now, here's the thing that mothers have recognized very early. I believe all mothers and fathers as well. Life does not come with a manual. Life doesn't come with a manual. And it's amazing, the first child takes the brunt. The first child doesn't get away with nothing. The second child is a little bit easier. The third child, it's worse. The fourth child can do as he or she pleases. Life doesn't come with a manual. It comes with a mother. And I think my mother realized that by the time I came around. She was hard on the kids, I believe. Just to let you know, my mother was 56 when I was born. So all the others, siblings from a different father, because she outlived two fathers. The third one was amazing. My father, I believe, he died when I was 14. But I look at all the others, and I would often hear, we could never get away with what you got away with. I said, well, that's obvious. I'm the blue-eyed boy. Because I was 50, she was 56 when I was born. So the manual evolves. You learn from crises. There's a crisis in the family, the first child, I don't know what to do, and then you ease, until the second one comes, and the second one has a much better life. Not that the first one didn't have a better life, the first one was loved, but it was very strict. And I can truly say this morning, Mom, you are the role model to your children, whether we like it or not. Let them see the importance of personal devotion to the Lord. If I can encourage mothers this morning, particularly with the younger mothers here, please raise your children in the ways of God. And raising your children does not depend on a Sunday only. And I've seen this too much over the years, that most of the responsibility of children being raised is done by school teachers. Most of the teaching is done at school and very little teaching in the home. And more than that, the mothers spend much more time with the children than the father does. And that's why the mothers play such a vital role in today's society, even as it did then. We can't abscond from that. We cannot turn away from that. They are a role model. And show them the importance of God in your life. I want to encourage mothers. I want to encourage fathers, although Father's Day is a month away. Every day there's got to be God in your children's life. Every day, guys. Not once a week, not the Sunday school ministry on a Sunday. Every day there's got to be God in your children's life. Teaching them about God, showing them the love of God. We find that within the Jewish system. We find that within the Muslim system. Every day they get educated in their word, in the Bible, their Bible, the Jewish Bible. Teach your children by example the benefit of private devotions. One-on-one time with the Lord. Let them see your passion for the Lord daily, not just on, hey, come on kids, we're going to go to church today, it's Sunday. But the rest of the week, there's no God. There's no God. The sad, on average, that's the problem today. There's a few isolated families that have God every day in their children's lives. Moms are role models by their actions and their sayings in Deuteronomy 4 verse 9. You must be very careful not to forget the things you have seen God do for you. But look at this. You must be very careful not to forget. How many of us forget the good things that God has given us? Or we recognize as you get older, you forget much more. And here we got to understand the concept. Don't forget the good things that God has done. In Deuteronomy 11, verse 18 and 19, place these words on your hearts, the Message translation. Important, guys, for not only mothers, not only young ladies, but every single one of us. Place these words on your hearts. Get them deep inside of you. How do you get it deep inside of you? By meditating. Meditating on the word. Because, guys, we cannot follow the ways of the world. We cannot follow secularism. Wednesday night, well, we're going to talk about the hot topic for the day. Or the hot topic of the week on Wednesday night, I'll elaborate a little bit. The files of the UFOs have been released. Yeah, sure. Total deception that's coming our way. Place these words on your hearts. Get them deep inside of you. Tie them on your hands and foreheads and as a reminder. Now, here's the important part. Mothers, young mothers, older mothers, if your children are in the home, teach them to your children. Teach them what? Teach them the word. Teach them God. Teach them the love of God. Teach. It doesn't say just speak, speak, speak. My mother taught me how to pray. My mother taught me by observation how she would lay hands on sick, how she would lay hands on me. I learned that from my mother, seeing when nothing is impossible and when there's a difficult task, the difficult position that she's in, she'll pray. As I said to you, she would never pray much out loud. It was all a whisper prayer. But she was a woman of faith. Teach them to your children. Talk about them. Now notice this. It's not only for your children. Talk about them wherever you are. So it's God-minded. It's God-focused. Talk about them wherever you are. Sitting at home or walking in the street. Talk about them from the time you get up in the morning until you fall into bed at night. Wow, that's a lot of talking. Us men don't talk so much. That's not so much about the talking. It's about sharing. It's about telling people about what you've experienced. Telling people about the love of God. Because the world cannot teach you that. Nobody else can teach you that. Only the word. Only through the power of the Holy Spirit. Children will role model what you do and you don't. Moms say it's important to always speak well of others. Don't say that about them or say bad about them. Mom knows the importance of speaking well of others and teaching their children to speak well of others. It's taught by teaching etiquette to your children. And this is one of those things this morning that I've seen that has gone, and some of the older generation can identify and relate to that. There's not much etiquette left in society anymore. It's a sad thing, but people tell me it's a different generation. I understand it's a different generation, but the etiquette can still be the same, though. For instance, teaching them to say, please, thank you. That's so basic. Or to greet somebody. You know, it was very strange for us coming from a country that is very expressive into the Frozen Chosen society. I'll never forget. You know, we're just using examples to see how culture has changed, particularly in New England compared even to the South. I will never forget one day we were invited to a gathering at a house. We were new here. So we come to the house and we knock on the door and nobody opens. And eventually somebody comes and says, come on in. And I come in. I'm looking around. I don't know where to go. I've never been in this house before. What are we supposed to do? We've got stuff in our hands. Where are we supposed to put the stuff? And then somebody goes, oh, by the way, just put it over there. Okay, so we go put it over there. We don't even know where to sit. We don't know where the lounge is. What do we stand? And I said to him, this is a weird experience. What are we doing here? And then that was one thing after the other. We've experienced this over and over. People will come in, they'll never greet you. What's up with these folks? They don't greet. They don't know how to say hello. They don't know how to say welcome. And so I've seen this cultural change and I thought, man, we can change that over here. We can do it. And we do. I mean, we get through and we start asking people, hey, just say please. You know, even going downstairs, hey, say thank you to the people that are serving. I mean, it's so basic. Please, thank you. And then, of course, you greet somebody. Hi. They don't even look at you. What am I saying hi for? And those are the ethics, I believe, that can stand us in good stead as we apply that to our lives and in the lives of the children. Teaching them not to interrupt others while they are talking. Oh, man, don't you ever talk to me about interruption while others are talking. My family was, man, my mother was very strict on this. We would have a family gathering of all the uncles and the aunts, and I would come in. Hi. Woo. That was the worst thing I could do. Hi. Come here. These are not dogs. You will go to every single one of them and say, hi, Uncle so-and-so. Hi, Aunt so-and-so. Hi. And then I could go. I had to call them by name, not just, hi, and you would never interrupt when they were talking because kids are to be? I love it. Can we say that again, please? No, it's a different generation. Teach them to respect others. I think that's so important today. This is what I've observed. We've got to a point today that individuals don't even respect themselves anymore. And when you don't have respect for self, you can't have respect for others. And when you don't have respect for yourself, you let yourself go. And you look disrespectful. But the people have got the attitude, I don't care. I'll give you another example. I'll never forget this. Went to a wake. Sitting at the wake, and I see a lady come in, a young lady. Now, this would never have happened in my day. It just shows you I'm dating myself to the dinosaur age now, or the baby boom age. In comes this young lady.
well-set lady, tight, tight shorts, and flip-flops. And I'm looking at this, and I said, my Lord, what family life has this lady had? What family life has she had? Obviously, within the family life that she's exposed to, there is no structure, there is no discipline, there is nothing. And I've seen that now become the norm because we have so many broken families. For you, moms, teach your kids daily respect. Also, one thing that has been taught to me over the years, particularly from my parents, my mother in particular, was to be generous. That's been part of my life, part of Heather's life. Teach them to be generous. Give. And that's what the Bible says. Never cease doing what is good. Never. There's sometimes people will take advantage of you. There's sometimes people will abuse your goodness. But never stop doing good because it's a biblical principle. And I believe these things will help to build the character of your children. Truth is, our children mirror our behaviors. And we are never to forget this truth. We are the sole role models of our kids. I don't care what the argument is. What the parents do, the child will do. The parent uses foul language, the kid's going to use foul language. The parent, look within society. The father is a fireman. What does the boy want to be one day? A fireman. Cop, mother cop. Child wants to be a cop. So it seems to follow, not all the time, but most of the time, follow the pattern. And that's why parents recognize, please, you are the sole role model to your kids. And that's why it's imperative that we be positive in our role modeling. In Proverbs 31, 26 and 27, and I want to just wrap this up because it's Mother's Day, it's a shorter service than normal. Please, men, open your ears. When she speaks, she has something worthwhile to say. Sometimes we disregard that. There are times I'll say, Heather will tell me, I say, honey, shh, don't worry, I've got this. But when she speaks, she has something worthwhile to say. And she always says it kindly until you don't apply it. Because the second time she tells you that will not be as kindly as the first time. And if you ignore it the second time as well and you do it your own and you screw up, you will hear, I told you so. But this is so true about a mother though. I watch our young mothers. I watch them downstairs at times. My eyes are always seeing what's happening downstairs. Particularly the young mothers. They look at the kids and wherever the kid is, the eyes roam. Just want to make sure they're okay. Well done, young mothers. Well done, mothers. She keeps an eye on everyone, well, including her husband, in her household, and keeps them all busy. Yeah. Come on, guys, you know that. What's your do-it list already? Honey-do list? How long's your honey-do list? It never gets shorter. Right, JD? I won't ask you in any case. But yeah, all keeps them busy and productive so they're not idle. And this is so true. Understand the concept of a woman. A woman is totally different than that of the man. Think differently, act differently, do things differently. But one thing, she keeps an eye on everyone. Mom, you are the best and one of a kind. Be who the Lord has called you to be. Remember, you moms, you're called by God. You're doing a job. You may be a young Christian, but raise your family in the ways of God. Yes, the husband is the head of the home. I understand that.
But most times the husband's not there. Nowadays, the wife is not there neither because of work. But then it's teamwork. The single moms, great respect for the single moms today. Because pressure is on. The pressure is on. But mom, you are the best and one of a kind. There's nobody like you. Be who the Lord has called you to be and do everything to the best of your ability. Make a difference. You can make a difference in the lives of your children, both your natural ones and your spiritual ones. You may not have natural ones, but they are spiritual children, those that you have led to the Lord, those that you've influenced. Be a mother to them. Instruct them and teach them the ways of the Lord. Always. And this is where I want to end the service this morning, for the mothers in particular. Mothers, you meditate, you've got your devotions. But your devotion daily must not just stay with mother. It must be shared with the children. And whenever your children come home from school, welcome them. Another thing I can't understand. We are so blessed in this country, so blessed. We just grew up in an era that was tangible. We were always putting hands on somebody's, bumping somebody. We were always messing around. That was just part of the culture. And I'm so amazed to see the blessedness of people here, that the kids can go outside, the children can go outside, and a bus picks them up. Wow! We're blessed! And then the school ends and the bus drops them off. Holy moly, I wish that I had that in my day. Instead of walking and riding my bicycle for miles to get to the school. But here's the thing that caught my attention when we got here. And I still observe it daily. The bus comes back. The mother or father stands outside. The kid gets off the bus. There's not hello. There's not a greeting. There's not a hug. Can I help you this morning? Can you learn to hug a little bit? Now, Crossway has become a hugging church. God designed us to have the socialness. I'm not a hugger. Get over it. The kids would come. They'd carry their bag. The parents won't even take the bag. Or the parents won't even ask. Or the mother or the father. Hi, come on, let me give you a hug. No, we're just as if it's another piece of dirt just walking. You see what we've lost? We've lost some value. You say, but man, you whining this morning. No, I'm not whining. These are things that play a vital part in building up the social structure in a home. Not just this independent structure, but a social structure where kids can feel the hug. Kids can feel the warmth. Kids can feel the love. And that's why instruct them and teach them the ways of the Lord. I don't know if we've got one scripture after that. Not, so, no. So, understand my heart this morning. We appreciate the mothers. We appreciate the fathers. Your day is coming in June, the third Sunday. But mothers, we love you. We appreciate you. Let's live out this biblical principles. Live it out to the glory and the honor of God. Daily share with your child. Daily have influence in your child's life in a positive way. Does it mean it's going to be successful for every person? No, it's not going to be. There's no guarantee. We're individuals. But we've got a basis that we can build on. We've got a foundation we can build on. And also respect to one another. Can we pray together?